The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to hear the truth, unfiltered. It's Sean Salisbury, unfiltered. He's played football, baseball, and basketball. He played pro football for 10 years, and he's been a broadcaster for 12 years. Now he takes it to the internet radio airwaves. Get ready for sports talk like you've never heard before. Now, here's Sean Salisbury.
Welcome to 2 hours of Unfiltered. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're going to get all that changed. We're going to get some new music. I've been in the broadcast business 15 years, not 12. We're going to get change it. And we're going to get with this 2 hour, whole new music, a little bit of everything. And now that you guys know I played football, basketball, and baseball, I don't think we need to put that on there. Although I prefer a shorter introduction, hey, it's all good. So those of you who are first timers, welcome. 2 hours of Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. Man, do we got a good one today. And with 2 hours, we can get it all in, I believe. We can get it all in. At 10 o'clock, Mike Leach, going to join me. The unemployed, best unemployed coach on the market when it comes to college football. Already, Florida's hired Muschamp. Miami's hired Al Golden of Temple, who got him in their first bowl game in forever, but is an under 500 record. Still trying to understand that one. Nothing against Al Golden, but not Mike Leach. Mike Leach will join us at the top of my, when I say 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock hour central time. So an hour from now, whatever time zone you're in, Mike will join us. We won't be talking too much about the lawsuit with Texas Tech ESPN because Mike can't talk about it, so it's a waste to try and force him to talk about it. He can't, nor do I care about the lawsuit. It'll get settled one way or the other. But we will ask Mike why he's not a head coach right now, what baggage people are talking about, and we'll just talk to him about football. You want to talk to Mike about football, so he'll join us in an hour. Talk about Cam Newton in this show. Did you hear when Cam Newton stood up there? First of all, and I love the kid, and I know you're nervous and the rest of it, but I've heard more polished speeches. Quite possibly the worst Heisman speech I've heard. It was awful. That being said, thanked his mom. He knew he was going to win it, so he should have had a little more preparation, but a good kid. But didn't you love it? When he thanked his mom and said, you know what, I just want people to know that my parents know, for all the thanks, thank you for all the, just summarizing, for all the things that people don't know about that you've done behind the scenes. Yeah. Was that a faux pas or a dig? Because we do know some of the things that have gone on behind the scenes, and if you're that close to your dad, don't tell me you didn't know. So the speech kind of led me down to belief that I don't think he's going to have this Heisman Trophy a long time. Sorry to tell you, I just don't. Congratulations to him. We let him have his day. Now that the Heisman Trophy's in his pocket, we can start to speculate. I thought the speech was, hey, Mom, you've been knew it was going to be great since I was in the womb. yes, we can pick things apart because I think the kid was shocked because he knows that enjoyed that Heisman for a while. Okay. That being said, he was the best player in college football on the field and deserved to win it for his on-the-field play. I just found it fascinating how, oops, that's the equivalent of when one of Michael Vick's players said something about a dog, or if Mike were to get up there and say, man, we killed it. We played like dogs out there. That'd be the same thing as what Cam Newton saying, well, behind the scenes. So bottom line is the kid's got the Heisman, but I just found that fascinating, and we're far from hearing the last of this. We really are. Some are happy. Had it not been for the controversy, he'd have won it even bigger than he did. It wasn't close. There's no question, nor should it have been. I do understand why some left him off the ballot, but that being said, I think we're going to revisit this soon. So, Andrew Luck, you may still get that Heisman Trophy that you were second. And the voting went properly. You actually, you know, could have flip-flopped Kellen Moore and LaMichael James also, but Luck deserved to be second. So we'll hit on 888-346-9144. Again, Mike Leach in about 55 minutes from now. Cam Newton wins it. We've got Miami and Florida fans. Are you happy with this? How did Al Golden get this job? How did Al Golden from Temple, I know Temple went to the bowl game. You know, I know they've got a bowl, I get that. What a coup for for Al Golden. Will Muschamp was the man in waiting for Mac Brown. Guess he didn't want to wait that long. He is now the coach of Florida, and I don't have a problem with that hire. I don't. Now, it's the defensive coach, and then the guy who's had their defense going strong, no pun intended, was Charlie Strong, who's the head coach at Louisville now. So we'll have some defensive, some great athletes, and he'll be the head coach. We'll see who he gets on his staff to run his offense and the rest of it. So those two have been tapped as head coaches. I'm still a little mystified and miffed at what's going on with the U and where they were going with this. And Pitt's still looking. Vanderbilt wants Gus Malzahn to be the head coach, the offensive coordinator at Auburn. And maybe he will go, being the fact that he's not going to have the big stud playing quarterback for him anymore. And he'll want to go build his program. The assistant of the year is voted on. Gus Malzahn, offensive assistant of the year, and deservedly so. So we'll hit that. Coaching changes. Like I said, there's something deeper going on with Urban Meyer. Now the speculation is that he's got a cardiovascular problem, recurring, burning in his upper chest. Cardiovascular risk factors if he continued to coach football, and he's resigned. So there is a health scare. I knew it wasn't just to be with family, as did everybody else. And we'll see how serious it is. If it's just health, please, I hope Urban Meyer's okay. Completely understand why he walked away at 46 years old. Way too young. Way too damn young to have that scare. Anybody who's had a health scare in their family or to them, I understand if he walked away from it like this. That I do understand. But I told you last week, and I knew it, this wasn't just, oh, okay, I just think I'll walk away from $4 million a year because I want to spend more time with the family. Talk more about that. Is there still more to come with that? Favre, now here's what I don't understand. Sometimes Brett baffles me. Obviously, we know Minnesota got an extra delay, and it's almost like the Favre storm to give him an extra day to heal so he doesn't miss a start. Giants and Vikings will play in Detroit. And I see some Viking fans, and I give them a lot of credit for wanting to, like, drive to Detroit and go to the game. I wouldn't do it. I don't like football that much. With all that weather and all that, no offense, doesn't interest me. You'll be able to see that game if you're, I guess, in the markets of Minnesota and New York. You'll get to see that game. Otherwise, you see the Ravens and the Texans. I'm sure most people would actually rather watch the Vikings play the Giants. Now, Brett Favre says his streak is probably ending, although the extra day may help. Now, he said in a text message when he was being interviewed or asked a question, here's the part that starts to make me wonder, well, is Brett loving this still? I mean, we know he's done in a few days or a few weeks. He's going to be done. He said that I kind of look forward to just chilling for a change, meaning if I don't get a start by standing on the sideline. That doesn't sound like the Brett Favre I'm used to hearing. And if this is really the way Brett feels, and you guys know I've been a fan of his for a long time and think he's special and still am as a person and as a player, it's time to sit him down, folks. Not just on performance, but if that's his feeling that I kind of look forward to chilling, then he needs to chill on the sideline and his career as a starting quarterback in Minnesota needs to be done. Because once the streak's broken, I don't believe he'll get back into the lineup. Why would he? You're building for the future. You're not making the playoffs. I just, to me, when Brett starts to say that, it's the first sign of goodbye. He's out. No mas. See you night later. Good night, Irene. Katie barred the door. So if you're a Viking fan, does that kind of bother you? Does it bother you a little? that Brett Favre, I kind of look forward to chilling on the sideline. That doesn't sound like the Brett Favre competitive guy I know. So if that's him, then, you know what, whether he's healthy enough or not tonight, maybe it's time to sit him down and realize he's not best for our team right now. And Sal Alossi, the strength and conditioning coach for the Jets. Roger Goodell's going to get a major fine, folks, for tripping a player, for tripping somebody on the sidelines. Yeah, that's not going to be good for him. And the Jets are starting to wilt. Sanchez looked like a rookie, complete rookie, and proved that he doesn't belong in the upper class of players in this league. At one point, people start saying, well, can he get some MVP votes? Does not look like a player in this league. When I say player, obviously he's a player, but is it the star that we expected? Definitely not the star we expected. He had a miserable day yesterday. The Dolphins fascinate me. I mean, Sanchez is 17 of 44 for 216 yards and a pick and played awful football. Chad Henne, 5 of 18 for 55 yards. They go on the road and win. They go on the road and win. I don't understand. When I watch the NFL week to week, how did the Arizona Cardinals with a guy named John Skelton roll up 43 points on a Broncos team? In Green Bay, playing against Detroit. The game was in Detroit, should I say. Not Green Bay, but it was in Detroit. Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. Tell me one player doesn't make a difference. That team can't throw up. Flynn can't. The backup quarterbacks in this league should leave me shaking my head. Out goes Aaron Rodgers, even though they were struggling early on. Great defensive performance, but Green Bay can't perform without one player. No Aaron Rodgers, no shot. Another concussion. How long will he be out? I mean, it's amazing to me how teams will show up one week and the next. Isn't it Kansas City Chiefs? Oh, my gosh, they're going to win the division. Everything's going great. And all of a sudden, they completely disappear. Completely disappear. Off the map. Get shut out. Oh, I know. What's that? Backup quarterback. After appendicitis by Matt Castle. Brody Croyle goes 7 of 17 for 40 yards. I mean, isn't it amazing? So please don't tell me one player doesn't matter. It does. It does. You Jets fans, your team's going away, folks. They've won. I mean, those winning close games finally caught up with them. Winning close games finally caught up with them. And now they're in a chase mode. And it's apparent that this team isn't as good as everybody thought they were. They think they are, but they're not. The Chiefs could have basically put the Chargers away yesterday and decided not to show up in San Diego. I mean, for a team that's supposed to win the division, the Chiefs, that didn't look like a playoff team to me. And then you go out to San Francisco and say, oh, man, okay, Seattle's in town, should be a game, I pick San Francisco to win, but all of a sudden they go up there. I mean, Seattle comes up there, and San Francisco throws 40 on the Seahawks. We haven't seen the San Francisco 49ers do that to anybody. Then you get the Washington Redskins. They can't even kick an extra point. Can't even kick an extra point. One job to do, and they can't even handle that. Look around the league. It blows my mind. And then you get the Cincinnati Bengals, who are the Cincinnati Bengals. If, in fact, people keep their job in Cincinnati, I will be shocked, fascinated, and will not be able to believe it. I like Marvin Lewis, but you know what? It's got to go. That team doesn't respond to anything. And I don't care if they kept it close, or I don't care that at first it looked good, and Troy Polamalu makes a play. It ends up 23-7. They got hammered. Cincinnati's a bad football team. And do you know some people picked them to win a division this year? Not this cat. Didn't believe him. Don't believe in him. Said it was going to be, it's too selfish a football team. And it is. Jack Del Rio doing everything he can to save his job. Maurice Jones-Drew, another big rushing performance. We talk about the great running backs in this league. He never gets talked about. Nobody talks about him. Nobody talks about him. Dallas Cowboys played pretty decent football, but couldn't hold him off. Mike Vick's just a playmaker. They get a couple interceptions, but not enough. Mike Vick's just a playmaker, folks. Just one hell of a quarterback. He goes 16 to 26 for 270 and two touchdowns. Quarterback rating of 102 going into the game. You got to have that position to be special in this league. You just do. You just do. Every now and again, you'll have a quarterback plays well, but they don't lose. Jason Campbell goes 21 to 30 for 324 and two touchdowns, but they lost to Jacksonville because Jacksonville ran the ball better for the most part. Yet, then you look at the day that McFadden had and you say, well, did they really run the ball better? But he was 16 for 123. Your quarterback throws for over 300. How do you lose? How do you lose? Well, they found a way. And if the Minnesota Vikings don't move over that new stadium, could you imagine if all of a sudden the game would have been on and that would have happened with people in the facility? Could you imagine if that game, if the Giants would have been able to get in on time and people would have been in that facility? If the good Lord works in mysterious ways, being able to move that game or delay it because of the weather and had no idea that the roof was going to cave in because of the snow. Worst facility in the NFL, maybe in sports. Get rid of it. And the Minnesota Vikings, if you do not get a new stadium, it's time to move. L.A., here we come. Of all the teams now, it looks that the Minnesota Vikings seem to be the one to move. Yeah, sad for Vikings fans, but you know what? Can't keep a stadium up. Got to go. 888-346-9144. Got a lot of topics on the table. Mike Leach will join me in about 40 minutes. 45 minutes right here. This is Unfiltered. It's Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyer and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's SEANSALS at gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Well, the more I think about it, the more I was going through it. Players running down on special teams and Salalosi throws that knee out there and that thigh out there. How do you not suspend him? That's like strange but true football stories. A guy coming out of the stands and making a tackle, even though the guy didn't have the ball, covering special teams. If you're going to fine James Harrison $50,000-$75,000 for a hit, how does this guy not suspended and how is he playing? I mean, how is he able to stay on? You've got to suspend him for the rest of the season, don't you? What happens if the player blows out his leg? You can't trip a guy running down on special teams off the sideline as a strength and conditioning coach. Is that an arrogance of the Jets? Or just brain dead stupidity by Salalosi? How dumb can you be? been a big topic here in Arizona at 888-34, excuse me, in Dallas, sitting here looking at the Arizona game. Dallas, 888-346-9144 is Tashard Choice getting Mike Vick's autograph after the game. You got a problem with that? Should he have waited till both teams were in the locker room and walk on over to Philly's locker room and get his autograph? You just got beat, division competitor. Your team sucks this year, even though you're getting better under Jason Garrett, and Garrett should sign as the full-time coach. If you're Tashard Choice, do you wait and say, can we do it in the locker room after? Don't you? Is that just the way the Dallas Cowboys operate? Is that just the way the Cowboys operate? It's the way we're going to do things in Dallas. Maybe it is. Maybe that's the way they do things in Dallas. Maybe that's why the Dallas Cowboys are where they are, standing outside the playoffs and looking in. That there's other things that matter a little bit more to the Dallas Cowboys. Tashard Choice is a nice kid. Been around him, like him. Very nice kid. But that's not real smart. Not real smart. I understand if you win and you're out into the playoffs, it's like, hey, man, that's cool. Even then, you probably should wait till you're out of eyeshot and earshot of cameras and people talking. What's worse, Derek Anderson laughing on the sideline or getting a competitor's autograph on the field after the game? You tell me. You tell me. And back to this quarterback situation, if in fact certain teams do not get to the playoffs, or certain teams struggle, it'll be because of the quarterback. Not only because of the quarterback, but good teams get good quarterback play. Said Sanchez, 17 of 44. Henney's team wins with 55 yards passing. Brody Croyle's team loses with 40 yards passing. And the only reason Henney's team won with 55 yards passing is because Sanchez was 17 of 44. It's good quarterback play. And man, are the backups shockingly bad in this league right now for the most part. For the most part. But let's get back to the coaching. Al Golden's a new head coach at the U. Are you U fans happy? He's a guy who comes from Temple. Yeah, Temple hasn't been to a bowl game since 1712. Yet Al Golden gets named and he's got a less than 500 record to go from Temple to the U. Is he ready for this? I believe he played tight end at Penn State in the 80s. Maybe late 80s. Are you ready for this? Is this the best that they could do? Did Miami do their proper due diligence to get the right coach for the job? What about Gus Malzahn? Why not Miami with him? Why not Mike Leach? Why not somebody who's, why not? Is Al Golden the best candidate? Like I said, I don't know Al from Adam. Apparently nobody else does either. Temple, okay. He did a good job at Temple. Congratulations. Is he ready for the Canes? Is Al Golden the best that they could go on? Is Miami really looking? When you go out and interview, did Miami look and go get the best candidate available to run a storied, arrogant yet national championship-filled university? Did they? Did they really go get the best guy? I'll give them the benefit of the doubt until I see what goes on. But on paper, it doesn't look to me like they did. Maybe Al Golden's a great interview. Must be. Because what would possess you to say, I think Temple's coach is the best candidate for this? No offense, Temple. Sorry. Just to me, that you, and you don't have to be a big name. So I'm not necessarily looking for a big name. I'm looking for a more qualified coach. And not that you have to have 25 years experience, because I think retreads get to wear me out. But of all the guys that you were interested in, was Al Golden the one that you thought that's the best for this program? This team needs offense. This team needs innovation. This team needs to step up their offensive game. Have they? Or will the U in 2 years be in a position where they got to hire somebody else? Primo job, folks. One of the great programs in America that's fallen off the map as far as dominating. The program's fallen off the map as far as domination. They'll win some, they'll lose some. But when the U's not even in the top three or four teams in Florida, something's not right. Now, Wilt Muschamp, I'm sure Texas fans after this year, some are saying, oh, good, got rid of him, look at the UT. No, but now UT completely retooling. Greg Davis out as the offensive coordinator. Wilt Muschamp out as the defensive coordinator, now the head coach at Florida. I think this is a good hire. Excuse me, a good hire. I think Muschamp can coach. I think when you look, I mean, Texas was awfully young. Their offense put their defense in major binds on a regular basis. And Texas looked awful. But look around. Texas, Southern Cal, Notre Dame. Oh, there's some storied programs that weren't any good this year. They weren't any good. Florida, another one. They weren't any good this year. Man, what a year for Florida football. Florida State, okay, decent. Not great. U and University of Florida, just kind of blah. But Will Muschamp's a good hire. Not a bad deal to be the coach in waiting at the University of Texas, and for somebody to think so highly of you, you become the coach in current for the University of Florida Gators. Both get great athletes. Both will always be up in the top five in recruiting. Both are primo jobs. Will Muschamp's living right. Will Muschamp's living right. Things are good. The key for me as a head coach is who do I hire as my assistants? Because no offense, Mack Brown in Texas or Urban Meyer or Lane Kiffin, while some are more hands-on when it comes to calling daily plays and the rest of it, the truth is, a head coach has got to be a manager of things and leader of people, as I've said before. You got to be a good babysitter, and you got to make sure, because most of the time you're to your assistants that are doing all the teaching. Head coach will jump in once in a while. I know when John Robinson was there, wherever I've been, head coach oversees it all, approves and disapproves of certain things, watches the tape that the guys get them, but rarely does a coach get into a teaching mode, a head coach. Every now and then they'll jump in there, and you'll hear coach say, hey, let me do this. But you rarely see a head coach jump down in a three-point stance and say, give me this. And maybe you do. Maybe that happened with Chizik and Auburn. And it still happens with some. I think the younger and enthusiastic guys trying to let the people know that they're hands-on. But in truth, it's a different story to go from an X's and O's defensive assistant or offensive assistant to, you know, calling defenses or calling offenses, and then having the wherewithal to know who to hire and to make sure they live by what you want to do. But really, you're empowering them to run your program. You run the program. Assistant coaches run the players. Slice it however you want. So while Al Golden's going to be the face and the name of the U, his assistant coaches will be the ones that determine just how good these individual players are. You can go through weeks at a time in college or in the NFL of not speaking personally to your head coach, sometimes months at a time. You'll find some players that don't talk to their head coach one or two times a whole year in a private five-minute meeting or more. Many players. Hey, you see them out of practice every day. Hey, what's going on during stretching lines? May come up and say something to you if you've made a decision in practice or threw a ball or made a tackle just in bypassing. But they don't teach much. Now, in meetings, they may teach their coach. They tell their assistant coaches what they want, and here's how we're going to approach this. But really, as a player, you're buying the assistant coach. The head coach runs the program, but you rarely go to a program for the head coach, but could care less who your assistant coach is. It's the opposite. Now, I chose USC because I love John Robinson, but I also loved the coordinator at the time. It was Paul Hackett, and then it became North Turner. If you can't get along with the assistant coach, it doesn't matter if the head coach loves you or not. It does not matter if you can't get along. But if your head coach wants to, and I have a hunch that Muschamp will be heavily involved in being hands-on with the defense, heavily involved. I believe that. I think this is a good hire, Florida fans. I think you should be excited. I don't think this is a miss. Now, it's all about players. Can they get them? Are they enthusiastic? Can they do it? But I don't think this is a miss. I think Will Muschamp's a good hire. I think Texas is going to miss him quite a bit. Quite a bit. Quite a bit. The man knows his football. Big time. So we'll see if the Florida can turn around and return and get this recruiting thing going and get themselves some players. But the U, I know there's U fans out there. Good gracious. 888-346-9144. Go down the list. You happy about Al Golden? Now, who's Pitt going to go get? We've seen some strange hirings. Coach Kill's the new one in Minnesota. Who knows what's going on in Pitt? Vanderbilt, I understand why Gus Malzahn's become the hot commodity in the country. If, in fact, Andrew Luck decides to leave and Jim Harbaugh leaves and Michigan makes a change of coach, then Stanford will need a new coach. There's so much going on, the carousel is just going to begin. And the head coaching jobs in the NFL, that's about to go haywire too. Sal Alossi, tripping a player, running down. This got to be a steep penalty. While it may have been funny, it's not funny. It's not funny. It's actually a bit disturbing. Minnesota fans, I feel bad for you because your Vikings got to go with that facility. Awful, awful place to play. Loud when the fans are in there, but can you imagine the tragedy if, in fact, the Giants would have made it in town? This is Voice America Sports. We're unfiltered. We're talking it all, and we're here for 2 hours. Mike Leach, about 30 minutes away, talking to the former Texas Tech coach who's waiting for an opportunity. And boy, is he ready. We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network. We talk about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and how to get more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk with their combined experience of 60 years in the woods. Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they're also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. Tune in every Thursday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time to IS Outdoors with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Here's from my man, AC. He's looking forward to Mike Leach. He said the straight coach Sal Alossi is a punk. Pulls a Woody Hayes, but does like a total punk, keeping it clean. At least Woody came out on the field. This act, to me, speaks more of the culture of the New York Jets and the organization. Rex, love him or hate him, this is baby. This is his baby and the environment, and it shows. He needs to be more than fired and fined. dangerous and could have ended a career. There's no doubt about that. And Rex Ryan, he is the head coach, and the Jets are suffering with injuries, are playing pathetic. Talking about the Jets play, they're suffering with injuries, but that was bad. Sal Alossi, you got to be suspended for the rest of the year and fined. You just have to. Here's another one. No problem with this from AC also. No problem with Choice getting the autograph, but the timing is what is an issue. But again, it speaks to me of basically the culture of the Dallas Cowboys. And how about the Redskins? The culture once again rears its head, and they cannot blame Fat Albert. Time to take a long look at Shanahan and his poor play-calling son as the reason for the poor play in preparation. Then you have the Patriots that went out and did the Bears doggy style in their own stadium. That is the culture everyone NFL teams have. The Bears, you know, I left that. We're going to hit that. Speaking of hitting it, the Bears hit it hard, grabbing their ankles. The Patriots are clearly the best explosive, best team in this league. And if the Bears are an elite team in the NFC, regardless of their record, I'm sorry, I ain't seen it. I had one person kind of compare the Bears. When I said on Facebook, I said, Jay Cutler's not a Super Bowl quarterback. He's a good player. He's shown flashes of brilliance, but flashes are not consistent flashes of brilliance. And you know that, and I know blame it on the line, it's always somebody else's fault. I said, well, look at the Ravens with Trent Dilfer. And how dare anybody compare the Ravens, 2000 Super Bowl, and the Bears defense, those two defenses? Bears not even in the same league when it comes to that. But they're still at the top of their division. The question is, are they really that good? Well, they got exposed because if they run into the Patriots, that'll be a butt-kicking. Atlanta, Tampa hung in there. Green Bay, boy, falling off. It's Atlanta and the Saints probably right now that are the teams to beat in the NFC. Let's get out to Anthony in New York. We got a lot going on. Sal Alossi, coaching changes, 2 hours on this show, Tashard Choice getting an autograph, Mike Vick after the game on the field. Where are you headed with this, my man? How are you?
How are you, Sean? Pretty good.
I'm doing a lot of fine, places. Thank you.
A lot of places I can go with this, a lot of places. How about basketball is relevant in New York again?
Yeah, how about those Knicks, huh? Yeah.
Ever since
Stoudemire are making a case for an MVP award early in the season.
The MVP at the Garden, it's unbelievable.
Love it.
Ever since I made that phone call to you and bashed them, they went on the 8-game winning streak. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they're all listening. You know that.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. Anyway, I want to start with the NFL. Who would have thought yesterday the most exciting game on the entire thing would have been the Jaguars and Raiders?
No doubt.
I mean, and then I wanted to ask you, do you think after this year, the way the NFC West is playing, it's just absolutely awful. The two division winners essentially got blown out. I mean, leaders got blown out yesterday.
Yep.
Again. Do you think after this season the NFL has to look and find a way that if you don't have a 500 record or if a team, because I'm looking at it now and I'm kind of sweating it out with Tampa because the way I see Tampa's going to win 10 games and they might get shut out to a 7-9 team.
Yeah, see, to me, I felt strongly about this for a while. If you're not a 500 team, we got to reset. If you're not capable, if you can win your division but you can't win 8 games, then we got to make a change and you don't belong in the playoffs.
Right, yeah.
You do not belong in the playoffs, and I'm a strong believer in that. I'm not a fan of it at all. I don't think that any of these teams in the West belong in the playoffs. They're not good enough, and it's unfair because a team like Tampa will more than likely miss out.
Mm-hmm.
Will more than likely miss out and shouldn't. So yes, I'm past. I think you take the 6 best records. I just do.
Yeah.
Give me the 6 best record. If that means 3 teams from one division make it and the division winner from the other doesn't, oh well. Because you know what? If you're playing out in the NFC West and you can't have a better record than that,
mm-hmm.
then you're doubly bad. Because that division, can you imagine sticking a team like the Patriots or the Saints in the NFC West like they used to be?
Wow, yeah. No.
We wouldn't be fair.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's an embarrassment. The NFC West is an embarrassment. And we ought to be ashamed of ourselves by even allowing one of those teams to go to the playoffs.
Right, yeah. And then going on, you brought up Shanahan. I mean, the thing with him is I watched the Tampa Bay game yesterday. I mean, they blamed it on McNabb, the whole two-minute drill. But there was a two-minute drill at the end of the first half, and they came down and totally the clock management was absolutely terrible. I mean, there's a certain that's got to go on the quarterback, but the plays weren't coming in. They botched using their timeouts. And it's just it looks like Shanahan has no control, or he almost clueless.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen a guy fall from grace so fast as far as, like, his coaching style and having control over players. You know, at what point do we start blaming him as the problem?
Oh, I think we can already start to do that. Well, you know how I feel about players, that a lot of times players do it. But I think that in this case, I'm not sure. Mike, to me, has not made the adjustment that it takes for a guy who is constantly in your face and grinding on you. that it takes for people to adjust. I mentioned it on Friday. Belichick made the change from Cleveland to New England. Bill's still hard, but you know what? If you're going to be like that, you better have great players.
Right.
And Belichick's got the best quarterback in football, so that helps. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to be Mike Shanahan, you better have great assistants, and you better empower them, which Mike isn't very good at that. Mike wants to oversee everything.
Right.
But you better have great players, and they don't. And Mike hasn't made the adjustment. Think about it. Tom Coughlin made the adjustment the year remember they started out 0-2. The Giants were getting their defense was giving up like 30-something and 40-something points the first two games.
Yep.
We were laughing them off the field, and they went on a run, won the rest of their games on the road, I believe. Then they go on and hammer the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But Tom Coughlin self-admitted that he needed to make some changes.
Yep.
He needed to make. You know, Tom used to have it where if you wore a certain color socks, it was the color of another team. He made him take off. He wouldn't let his assistant coaches wear sunglasses on the field when some guys, when the eyes, I mean, it's brutal. When you're trying to coach it up. So it got to the point where Tom was, it was a dictatorship. And unfortunately, I think that Mike Shanahan still runs that. And until Shanahan is willing to make changes or get Tom Brady, Reggie Wayne, Wes Welker, you know, Adrian Peterson, Jared Allen, and DeMarcus Ware and Troy Polamalu, then they're going to continue to struggle. And it's apparent that the Washington Redskins don't seem to know how to hire coaches.
No,
everybody goes there, it seems, to get fired and fail and go somewhere else. When's the last time, even with Joe Gibbs, who I love, but Joe had been out of it so long, Gibbs, Schottenheimer, North Turner, Jim Zorn, Mike Shanahan, I mean, the list goes on and on. And I have any of them played out there, have any of them coached through their contracts?
None of them have made it.
Exactly.
I mean,
so something's, there's a culture, something's not right in Washington, and until Mike decides to make changes, it's going to stay like this.
Right, yeah, no, I agree. I watched that entire game, and just, I mean, Washington dominated the first half of that, they only went ahead 10-0, you know, and then the second half, just, it wasn't like they were on the field. The botch an extra point like that, you know, it was kind of typical of their season.
It's inexcusable, though.
Yeah.
You know what, no offense, but even in bad weather, it's inexcusable. I'm talking about, you didn't see much botched in the Bears-Patriots game by the Patriots, did you?
No.
Miss an extra point, I understand that, but I'm talking about the snap, the hold, you can't botch it.
Right.
You just can't.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I think average and bad teams learn how to do that. I think it's almost as if they expect bad things to happen.
Right.
I believe they're like that. And unfortunately, bad things happen to teams. You are what you think you are, and I don't believe the Washington Redskins think they're any good, and it shows. And the difference between Mike, see Mike, what Mike will do, he'll grind more on the guys than he will back off and say, let's try something different. And it'll be, and I confess, it's somebody else's fault, because Mike will say his system and everything's worked forever. Well, yeah, it's worked. He had a good offensive line, a great runner, and a quarterback in John Elway, and a running back in Terrell Davis. And since then, he got close with Jake Plummer. But it's not. He hadn't been close since. You know what? Things got to change, and you sometimes got to change. You got to adjust to 53 guys as opposed to 53 guys adjusting to you.
Exactly. And then if I could just get to a couple things from last night's game, the Cowboys, and you've been saying it since the beginning of the year. I kind of felt the same way. The Cowboys gave all that money to Myles Austin, and now it's time for him to step up, and the guy kind of disappears. Another drop last night, which led to an interception. To me, you've been saying, he's a number two receiver that can go deep. I don't see him as a number one guy.
I don't either. And I mean, I got kind of vilified by some people saying, "Oh, Austin had a great year." I said, "Yeah, he had one great year.
Yeah,
you got to do it again." I've known a lot of guys. Timmy Smith had a great Super Bowl when he was with the Redskins and disappeared. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are one hit wonders, music and sports. So, and I think Myles Austin's a good player. I would have never paid him that much. And I said the second they drafted Dez Bryant, within a week, that Dez Bryant will be the number one receiver within a year and a half. And it came within 6 weeks as opposed to a year and a half.
Right.
Myles Austin's dropped 8 or 9 balls, which is second or first in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He's at the top of the league. And you know what? Say what you want. The guy, in my opinion, is a top flight number two. I can name 10 receivers in the league I'd rather have than him, and one of them's on their team.
Yep, it's a shame that Bryant went down, and then if you look, I mean, you'd figure Roy Williams would pick up some slack or whatever, but it seemed like Ogletree was the guy who they used more last night to kind of see what they have in him. So,
No doubt about it. See, I last year during training camp, not in 2010, but 2009, I really liked Ogletree.
Yeah, he's a local kid.
I thought he took his game to another level, but haven't gotten much run.
Right. No,
because all the money they've paid to all these other three guys, and I get it.
Right.
But you know what? To me, Ogletree with some work can play special teams. He's a solid wide receiver. I think he deserves a little bit more run, and depending on what happens to Roy Williams after this year, maybe he will.
Right.
But to me, I just am fascinated. I don't believe that all these guys say, yeah, he's worth every penny. Miles Austin is not a $60 million, $50 million frontline receiver. I'm just sorry he's not.
I've been following Ogletree a little bit because he went to high school right down the street from here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I liked him. I liked him last year in training camp, and I made it known. And they didn't give him enough run, but he had as good a training camp in 2009 as any receiver on their team.
No, yeah.
Maybe Miles Austin. But, yeah, I don't know if Miles got fat and happy or it's a typical Cowboy culture, what's going on this year. But,
yeah.
You know, Miles is a good kid and a good player.
Right, yeah.
He's not their number one receiver. Like I said, when a rookie's your number one receiver already,
mm-hmm.
He's only going to get better for Dez Bryant, and it sure gives you a good number two, but he is
right.
Not the number one receiver on that team. Too many drops, and great receivers don't drop that many balls in 2 years, let alone one.
No, and then with the Deshaun Choice with the signing, like you said, the timing of it, like I think it kind of represents the culture of the team. It's kind of like they went into this game kind of in awe of him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know why he was getting them signed, whatever. It could have been for charity, for himself, I don't know. But, you know, you kind of look like, obviously the whole team, including him, went into this, like, kind of in awe of Michael Vick. And you can't go into a game like that.
I could tell you from experience, I wanted Joe Montana when we played them, was we were going to switch hats.
Uh-huh.
Waited until we got in the locker room.
Right.
One of our PR people went over there, Joe signed it and brought it back.
Okay, yeah.
It was in a locker room, away from it all, on the field, you know, it wouldn't do that. You just don't do, hey. And I'm not a memorabilia guy, never have been. I have a handful, and Joe was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
He signed a Kansas City Chiefs hat for me, ironically. It wasn't a 49ers.
Right. Uh-huh.
And Joe signed it, and, you know, to me, you just don't do those things on the field. It's a sign of the typical Cowboys. It's immaturity, and
right.
It's almost, see, one thing you have to understand, you know Tashard Choice was thinking about this during the game.
Oh, he had to be.
Was thinking about it during the game because he didn't hesitate to want to do it. And I'm all for getting things signed for charity and the rest of it. And if you want to do it for yourself, do it for yourself.
Right.
There's a time and a place, and on the field, just like I don't believe in pregame love fests and all that either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in all that. And you know what? Tashard Choice, considering the circumstances, it was a bad timing award by him.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you.
Sad.
Yeah.
Should, real quick, before we go to break, do you fire or do you find Sal Alossi, the strength and conditioning coach, if you're the NFL? What do you got to do?
I would fire him. It's despicable what he did. It's awful. I hate to fire. I mean, listen, guy has a job. You hate to fire him, but I mean, I don't know how you could find a guy. How could you just find someone for doing that?
Worst, you got to suspend him without pay for the rest of the season and the playoffs. Regardless, you have to.
Yeah,
I don't like to see anybody get fired either. But you know what? That's a very, very ugly situation, and the culture of the Jets needs to change too. That was sad.
I agree.
Anthony, thanks, my man. Have a great
week,
Sean. Buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, bye bye.
It's Voice America Sports. We're Unfiltered. Mike Leach in 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, folks. We got so much to talk about at 888-346-9144. We'll be back.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on. It will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It old school, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSalz@gmail.com. That's SeanSalz@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
A few minutes. Take another couple minute break, and then we'll get to Mike Leach. And folks, don't sit there and say, you got to talk to him about the lawsuit. No, you don't. Can't talk to him about the lawsuit, or he wouldn't come on. This is my friend, but also, you know, I'm going to approach him like it's an interview. Can't put him in a situation where his lawyer tells him not to say stuff, so we're not going to hit the lawsuit. And if you have a question, email it to SeanSalz@gmail.com, SeanSalz@gmail.com, and let me know. You want a question for him about football, about has he been contacted, about what Mike's philosophy is, any of those things. If you want a question, let me know. But we're not going to talk to Mike about the lawsuit because, you know what, you don't want to put anybody in jeopardy of losing a lawsuit. I just think it's awesome of Mike to come on in the heat of all this when coaches are getting hired around him. Mike's had an unbelievable career at Texas Tech and as an assistant coach at other places. You know, been on the tree of Hal Mummy, Bob Stoops, was in Oklahoma, and now Texas Tech. I don't know exactly what baggage they're talking about, but we're going to find out from Mike Leach here shortly. It's Voice America Sports. It's Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We are 2 hours. We are 2 hours. And this is a place where also, my friends, if there's any announcement you need on charity or how we can help people through the holiday season, I'd be happy to give a phone number or something on here. I'm always willing to help out my friends and make sure. Another friend of mine is doing a book drive, and I'm going to give you some information on that, a book drive to help literacy and help people in the process of reading and learning to read. And I'm sure everybody's got books sitting around that don't do anything with, so I'll get you the information on that. Maybe we can all send one or two or five and make a difference in adults and children's lives. So I'll give you that information, and grateful that a friend of mine is doing that. And this is the time of season where, you know, it always feels better to give than to get. It really does. And there are some people that are strapped for cash and not going to be able to give gifts, but you can sure as heck give it your time and give it your labor and give it your efforts, and that may make a difference more than anybody. Drop by a hospital and go visit. Drop a kid by a small $10 toy. You know, even if you can't afford the 10 bucks, go put your arm around somebody and tell them you're thinking about them. Those things are important. Those things are important, and people need to know it. And you never know when that person needs that from you. You just never know when that person needs that from you. So when you get caught up in all your sports and holiday parties and the rest of it, there's somebody out there who's suffering through something. You know what? And we all do at certain times, whether it's the loss of a loved one and the holiday season reminds you of it, whether it's the fact that, you know, you're struggling with your job or your career struggling or you got drama in your life or somebody else does or somebody else is having a hard time. It doesn't take too much to stop by for 15 seconds to say something kind. And maybe this is the time of year where you mend fences, too. Maybe this is the time of year where you mend fences. Where you mend fences meaning, you know, maybe there's somebody that you're bitter at. And have you ever noticed that the person who holds the grudge, even though the other person may have screwed you over and may have shit on you along the way and may have done something that just that it causes so much trouble for you, and we've all had that in our life and caused drama for you, that maybe that even you can extend the olive branch, which is so hard to do. Our ego and pride gets in the way so much. I know mine has. Where you don't want to apologize for something, or you said something stupid, or you've done something. And it just festers and festers and festers, and you're sick about it. And then you wish you'd fixed it years, because all it takes is a simple 10-second apology or what have you. But have you ever noticed that if you're the one holding the grudge against the person who screwed you over, usually the person who screwed you over isn't bummed about it. The person who holds the grudge feels worse. The person who holds the grudge feels worse. Am I right? The person who holds the grudge feels worse. And I know that any time I've held a grudge in the past, I felt worse. It sucks. So this holiday season, you know what? Maybe it's the time to bury some old stuff, man. Get rid of some stuff. Clean it out. Apologize even when it's not your fault. Have you ever thought about a novel concept? Saying you're sorry even when it's not your fault. And maybe the person takes a step back and say, man, why is that person apologizing? But you know what? Okay, that's fair enough. And I think this is that we do a lot of reflection, New Year's resolutions, all the things that go on, we reflect on. And it's time to reflect now. So, you know what? In your sports world or whatever it is you do, your family, you know, a little something, just a little something, something. A little something, something. Kiss your girlfriend a little extra long. Hold your orgasm off an extra few minutes. Whatever it is, just be kind, man. Be kind. I spend time, you know, we all go on this Facebook thing, and it can actually be addicting at times, and I do everything I can not to, but you get to a sports post, and then before you know it, 80 people have commented, and you feel like you got to comment without feeling guilty about it. But then I go through, and man, there's some really, really bitter people in the world. There's some people that are going through hard times. Hard times. And my favorite is the one who threatens to delete delete all of Facebook every, like, three posts. But they never do it because they're waiting for 100 people to comment and say, oh, don't delete, and it's funny. And I get more people that don't speak English on my Facebook than I can imagine that are my friend requests. And it's in like in Hebrew or in some kind of, and I'm like, I don't know how to read what they're saying. I don't even know how to pronounce the name. But hey, then you wonder who's fake and who's real. And I've had that question. Hey, is this the real Sean Salisbury? Well, you know, I guess, and I'm too stupid to know. Well, is that picture? I don't even know how. I didn't know people could go on and take your pictures and put it on theirs. I don't know how to do that. People are whacked out. What makes somebody? And it didn't happen. I mean, we all have been hacked or what have you. But I just look at it. I say, well, isn't it a shame that we put on Facebook and we don't know if some person's the real person? Like, there's one out there that's a Marshall Faulk, and he's on mine. But some of the posts do not seem like the Marshall I know would say. Out of the blue during game, go Aztecs. It just doesn't seem like something Marshall would say. So you sit there and wonder, is this really Marshall Faulk? And you know, there's other ones on there. You say, there's no way. And then you'll get a friend request from some celebrity, and you're thinking, nice try. Ain't no friend request. Nice try. And it makes you kind of laugh. Why would that person be called? Why is Robert De Niro sending me a friend request? I mean, I just laugh. So this whole Facebook thing, well, it's great, and you get out there and you meet new friends. I've met some great contacts and some great friends that I haven't talked to in 30 years. And then you sit there and say, then some guy will friend you. Some guy will friend you only to rip you. You'll make a sports comment, and some guy will call you a name, and you got to delete him right away. But I try not to delete him right away because I'm like a comedian that wants the heckler so I can completely bury this person. But you'll get these guys to do it. Now, I'm okay with good banter and disagreement. But when somebody comes on there and calls people names that are commenting on the wall and rips them, it's time to get rid of them. Or when some people, I had one guy who started saying stuff so far out in space, I'm like, this guy's a fool, so you got to delete him. Yeah, you accept people just to accept them because you're trying to be kind. Now, I don't know a damn thing about Facebook other than I post some, I try to be kind and respond to people. They do make me laugh, though. They do make me laugh. The negativity, the pie, I love the motivational sayings. They're awesome. But man alive, this Facebook thing. People, what do you have in your life that would make you create somebody else's Facebook and want to be them? You can't get laid any other way? You got to be kidding me, right? We're unfiltered. Mike Leach coming up next. I don't think Mike has a Facebook page, judging from Mike's personality. We're going to talk football, and we're going to talk it for a long time coming up next with my man Mike Leach. Talk about grabbing your ankles. Mike Leach has been grabbing them, not literally, but man alive, do these college football people missing the boat. We'll be right back. Mike Leach up next, talking college football, right here on Voice America Sports. I'm Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered. We got another hour to roll.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network. We talk about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and how to get more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk with their combined experience of 60 years in the woods. Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they're also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. Tune in every Thursday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time to IS Outdoors with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Don't miss the show that gives you exclusive access to your favorite pro athletes off the field and in our communities. Join host Nick Murphy for Heroes Radio. Hear it directly from the source as we take you behind the scenes with your favorite stars. It's sports, community, entertainment, and fun. And it's all part of Heroes Radio. Tune in Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's S-E-A-N-S-A-L-S @gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered, an hour in the books. Be joined here in just about 20 seconds from Mike Leach, former head coach and the man who rebuilt Texas Tech's program, not only athletically, football-wise, but academically, facilities, and the rest of it. The best coach not to have a job in college football is going to join me here in just a second. We're unfiltered. Should Sal Alossi, the strength and conditioning coach, be fined and suspended or even fired after tripping a player running down the field? And we've seen that if you don't have a good quarterback in the National Football League, you don't win. You don't win. And if your good quarterback plays poorly, you don't win. It's about the quarterback position. So joining me now is a guy who knows that position as well as anybody in football. He also knows rugby. He also knows law. But he can only guy I know that can think out of both sides of his brain at the same time. Mike Leach joins me here on Voice America Sports, Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. Mike, how you doing, my man?
Good. I appreciate your having me on.
Oh, are you kidding me? Hey, how are you enjoying this? I know you're doing games for CBS College, and you're doing a radio show with Jack Arute. How are you enjoying this media thing, man? I mean, now you see it on both sides. Are you enjoying it? It's not a bad gig if you can get it, is it?
Well, when I first started, it was kind of a blur because I was just trying to learn and develop my skills so I could do it, you know. And then, because, you know, people actually study this stuff. And so here I just come into the middle of it and I haven't studied it or anything. It's like just here I am. So, but I had great people to work with. Like, on the TV, my guy was Roger Twibel, who's been at it and done everything from Olympics to Pan Am Games to broadcasting at every level there is. And then, of course, on the radio, it's with Jack Arute. And Jack Arute's done it. So I've had really good examples, really good people to kind of guide me along. And then, it's been fun. It's been a new challenge. The newness hasn't worn off. I'm kind of excited to do the next one whenever that time comes. Of course, I'll be on Sirius Radio later today.
Yeah, Mike, what time are you on Sirius Radio with Jack Arute? From what time to what time?
We're on Sirius Radio from noon to 3 Eastern Time on Sirius 122 and XM 143.
Okay, now let's get to this. The media thing, Mike, we know we've seen a lot of guys do it. You know, I've been on both sides of it, also played and do this media thing. But let's face it, you're a football coach. I know you're good at it and you love what you do, but let's hit the football coaching. Have you been contacted by, well, now that Miami and Florida, were you contacted by either the Canes or the Florida Gators at all, Mike, or your representatives?
No.
Okay, were you contracted by the University of Minnesota?
It's kind of back channels by the University of Minnesota, not the guys making the decision.
Okay, and then how about Pitt? Pitt, did they contact you?
No, I haven't heard from Pitt.
Okay, so my question this is, there's 10 years, bowl games, best record of any coach that's ever been there. You're top of the Big 12 in graduation. You know, dominant. New facilities from the time you got there, chains of facilities, the money coming into the university. Now you hear this thing, well, Mike's got baggage. What baggage? And we're not going to get into a lawsuit, Mike, because I don't want to touch that. But I'm sitting here trying to figure out, what is the baggage? You're as qualified as any coach that's unemployed as there is in the country. And it chaps my ass because it's starting to bother me that not even an interview? Why, Mike?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I don't have any baggage. I mean, I'm not a defendant in any lawsuits. I'm doing the suing, but believe me, these guys would love to sue me if they had something to sue me for, the two things that I got going, I'm trying to get paid for the last season that I worked at Tech, and then I'm, and then I have to clear my name if I don't have any choice but to file the litigation to clear my name and set the record straight because they made false allegations about me, so I don't have any choice but to do that. And I don't think anybody would want to hire a football coach. You don't want somebody to lead student athletes that doesn't value reputation and the right thing. On one hand, you say play tough and win. You want them to do that on Saturday, but then, on other issues, if you want him to cave in, well, you know, the guy can't be the same person simultaneously. So, anyway, what folks say is once the suit clears, then it's free sailing. So I guess we'll see, and that should be a couple of months, I think. I mean, who knows? But we're in it for the long haul, and so are my attorneys.
Mike, let me ask, if you're an athletic director, and you're doing the hiring, when a coach walks into your office, what are you looking for? Are you looking for, now you know what, you, Mike, I've known you a long time. And I know you're not going to walk in with a pocket square and the slickest guy in a three-piece suit. That's not your MO. Some guys do. Some guys are great salesmen when it comes to athletic directors and school presidents. But a resume matters. And your success matters. And the fact that you haven't been arrested, you graduate kids, you win football games. I'm just trying to figure out, if you're an athletic director and I come in to interview with you, what are you looking for? And why isn't Mike Leach getting a look? Is it just because of the lawsuit?
Well, I think the biggest thing you look for, you know, one of the things is I'm the winningest coach in the history of the program at Tech, and there's only 117 or so winningest coaches in the history of a program ever in history. And, of course, we won more bowl games than the rest of the history of the school combined. So I think you look at, how far you took a program. I think you look at graduation rate for sure. In our case, our players never got in trouble. I think you look at that. And then I think the fact that the football program and all that made a lot of money. And, we added to the stadium 3 times in 6 years because we kept outgrowing it. I think you look at all those things, and I think those are key.
Mike, you said a couple months with the lawsuit, and hopefully it'll be done. But by that time, college jobs, they'll all be hired. So
yeah, jobs.
Are you in your mind, now let me, are you opposed to coaching in the NFL? Are you a college guy? Or if, in fact, let's say the Denver Broncos call you when the season's over, are you willing to take yours? And people have asked me, can Mike's system work in the NFL? I said, why not? Are you willing to take the jump to the NFL, or is it college and only college for you?
No, I think coaching's coaching to a point. I mean, the NFL's a different animal. I think rather than based on recruiting base, tradition, things like that, it's based on owners and GMs. But, it'd be exciting to coach in the NFL. I don't think there's any question about it.
Would you? So according to that, if the lawsuit's not settled and you're not getting calls, I mean, Al Golden, no disrespect to Al, you're not saying this, I am, at Temple, less than 500 record. I know they're going to their first bowl game. He's now manning one of the top programs in the country at the U. Muschamp's done a good job in Texas, but they struggled this year. But now he's a head coach there. Pitt hasn't contacted you. Minnesota's got a new coach in Coach Kill. John Embry's now the head coach of the University of Colorado. And if it doesn't get settled for the next couple months, then we're looking at you not coaching in college football again in 2011. So, if in fact, I mean, you can coach at the next level, do you have a preference right now, Mike? Does the NFL intrigue you at all?
Yeah, it does. I definitely look at the NFL. And this is, you know, this is why we're in litigation to begin with, is the damage that, the false allegations have done to my reputation, and this is a byproduct of it. And so we need to turn it around and set the record straight and make that as clear as we can in everybody's minds. But, yeah, I think the NFL is an option as well.
What would you do with SEC talent as a football coach?
Well, we did it early on. We coached at Kentucky. That's kind of how I got hired by Bob Stoops. When I was at Kentucky, we had the number one offense in the SEC, and Florida had the number one defense. And then, so, you know, part of when I went to Oklahoma, was to kind of combine the two. I mean, when Bob became head coach at Oklahoma, you know, we had the number one, or, you know, the top defense was at Florida, and then, of course, he brought his brother, which was the top defense at Kansas State in the Big 12, and then I came with the top offense in the SEC. And so it was kind of an exciting combination of people, and all of us had a bunch of success with it, and it was really a fun group. We were all about the same age, too, at the time.
Well, let me ask you this. If somebody came at you like a Bob Stoops and said, come be my offensive coordinator for a year while you're going through this, would you do it, or is it head coach or bust for you right now, Mike?
Oh, I'd look at it. You know, I'd look at it, see what they want, see exactly what they're looking for. You know, it was a lot of fun working for Bob. It just kind of depends. I mean, it's like I'm down here in Key West and they know where I'm at. I mean, what you do is you get to Miami and then you drive down this road for 3.5 hours and you just go straight because there's nowhere to turn. You just go straight. And when you follow that road to the point, you run into the ocean. Just before you go in the ocean, you turn around, you go back 6 blocks. And when you do that, you're close enough to my house. You just call me and then I'll come get you.
Yeah, you're in high rent district, my man. You're in high rent district. So I know how to get you. Be careful, because you know me, I may show up and we may have our 4 o'clock in the morning beer in one hand, football talk in the other, and talking about politics. And I love the way you handle your press conference, because I know how smart you are, and I know you like to toy with the media, and it makes me laugh because everybody else takes it serious. And when you say something and they all flip out, I'm like, well, shoot, I need them on my show on Unfiltered, because you can say whatever the damn hell you want to say. Mike, let me ask you. You're a guy. We're all sensitive, and we all want to be successful. And you've, like you said, the winningest coach. What, 117 of them? You're that guy at Texas Tech. Are your feelings hurt through any of this? And we're supposed to be macho, and we're not supposed to admit this. Are your feelings hurt at all through any of this?
Well, you know, I mean, this was kind of at the hands of a few people, and nobody in Lubbock really wanted this to happen. My approval rating in Lubbock's like 95%. Everybody kind of sees through it and understands that, you know, the allegations were false, and they understand that I got screwed as well. I mean, it's disturbing. It's disturbing that low-level backroom politics would lead to this. I mean, they signed the contract the year before. At no point did they plan to fulfill it. The day after we signed my last contract, they're passing around memos talking about, well, if we can get rid of him by November, we don't have to pay it. And this is the three culprits. And then of course, their pal Craig James has some objections about playing time. And so then they all work together. I mean, there's only a handful of people that did it. And then life short enough that, I mean, I'm not going to sit around here and be unhappy. I mean, you know, and so down here in Key West, you can take a walk or take a bike ride or whatever. And, but no, I'm, you know, just be happy, be productive. It's been a good time, you know, to, spend with my family. I've had the chance to do a lot of other things. Went and watched them, make a movie a couple times, you know, went and saw this, an actor friend of mine work and prepare as he does his stuff, been to several other programs and watched them work and learn for myself. And then, of course, businesses have flown me out to speak to them. So has other schools have flown me up to talk to their offensive staff. So it's been good. And I've gone a lot of places, and it's been way busier than I ever expected it to be.
Mike, how many, aside from the situation with Craig Kahn, in all your years at Texas Tech, a decade, how many coaches have called you? I mean, how many parents have called you about playing time at work?
Oh, not very many. I mean, he would be the standard bearer of calling and complaining about playing time, no question. I mean, and then when it didn't work with me, he would call my assistants. And then as he started disrupting my assistants, I told him, you're not allowed to take his call on this. Well, then, of course, he starts working up for administration. The interesting thing on all this, before he made his complaint, he hired a PR firm. Okay, now, if you're telling the truth, if you have some legitimate complaint about, you know, your care and welfare of your son, why would you hire a PR firm? But so he hires a PR firm so that you know, so that the smear campaign against me can be in professional hands, and we're going after them as well.
Hey, Chad, hold this off for a few minutes. Let's keep Mike here until the bottom of the hour, please, if we could. I'm having too much fun with Mike. So, Mike, when the smear can, so when this is done and all is said and done, and I know your agent and the rest of them, I mean, you haven't hired a PR firm yet, have you?
No, I figure the truth would stand on its own. And, you know, and the thing is we've got enough stuff in their words. You know, you don't even need my words. Between the depositions, the memos, and the memos and the records and phone records and documents and things like that. Yeah, I mean, all the things in their words are not just compelling, but really alarming. What they did and kind of the their backroom approach to things, and illegally conspiring to steal my contract and not pay me. You know, and which is. If they're allowed to do it, then there's not going to be any state contracts that are enforceable.
Mike, who's the best coach in college football? Omit yourself from it. If you're looking at a coach, who's the best coach in college football right now, their philosophy? Who do you think, if every job was available, who's the first guy you'd call if you were an athletic director?
Boy, that's a tough question because, you know, there's elements of all of them, you know, that you like. There's elements of all of them that you like, you know. I mean, that's tough for me to nail down. I'd have to think about that. But I'll say this. The most important thing they do and the most difficult thing is balancing all the things, just the you know, just keeping things balanced. Those guys have been around a long time, like Joe Paterno, who's great at balancing all the forces and elements out there that, that come his way. I mean, because you'll have coordinators or coaches get happy. You'll have ones get upset. You'll have, you know, a variety of players come through. Then, of course, you've got the forces, as far as the administration, the alumni, and the things that they need, whether it's fundraising or even sometimes just some little meeting that just disrupts you. I mean, all of a sudden you come to work, you got momentum, you're ready to go, ready to game plan for whoever, and it's a Wednesday. Well, now all of a sudden there's going to be a meeting, you know.
Right.
It's only going to take half an hour, and of course it takes an hour and a half, you know, and it's right in the middle of what's... So just the ability to adapt and balance the things, I think, is the most important. And the other thing I think is tough is because everybody out there is doing a lot of good things, but to have the discipline, to have a core of beliefs, you know, to understand, all right, this is what we're going to do. This is our identity on offense. This is our identity on defense. This is who we are. This is how we're going to approach it, and this is what we're going to do. Because it's really tempting to see somebody have success with some little element of something and go out and try to do everything. There's too many good ideas in football, and people that try to do all of them, I mean, you see it all over the NFL right now. I mean, people can't complete passes because, you know, you can tell everybody's thinking too much, and you need to figure out what you're going to be good at so you have the time to practice and be good at it.
Mike, is there part of a hypocrisy with Craig James, or was Adam good enough to play for you?
Well, he played five, you know, he played about five plays a game, and he was good enough to do that. Had he worked hard, he would have been good enough to play more. Never would have been a starter, I don't think.
Well, let's switch to this national championship. Are you impressed with, Mike, would you, I mean, you've been innovative in bringing things that people said, oh, how's that work, how's that work? We've seen now the pistol offense with Nevada, now a lot of people have it, and the tempo that Chip Kelly and Oregon play with. So let's hit a little bit of this. Would you have voted for Cam Newton knowing what you know, just how it is? I think he was the best player on the field, but is this NC2A investigation over in your mind, in your gut feeling, is this Heisman Trophy going to end up in somebody else's hands?
Well, I think you have to give it to him now because they haven't proved anything, and this is the country where you're innocent till proven guilty, which, even though there's some falsehoods to that, believe me, I'm living proof of that.
I know the feeling.
I think you definitely give it to him because they haven't proven anything. The investigation doesn't appear to be over just because I think the FBI was interviewing people just the other day.
So yep.
my impression is that the investigation's not over. But I think that, and he clearly is the best player on the field, but if he's not proven guilty, I think you do. You know, the one thing, I thought the NCAA did a reasonably good job of that because the NCAA, there's been times where they've been quick to suggest guilt and point fingers. On this, the ones that have been quickest to condemn Cam Newton were members of the media. The NCAA in this case has never done that. And they came with their statement, you know, that based on the evidence we have now, you know, it's and basically to clear the way for him to play the SEC championship, which I think they're restrained on this. I'm glad to see that because my impression is that hasn't always been the case, but I was glad to see that. And if you do, you know, like worst case scenario, somehow they find something and they do end up taking it away, that doesn't change the fact they still took the right approach and did the right thing, and he was innocent until proven guilty, you know.
That voice you're hearing is Mike Leach. Just a couple more minutes with Mike. He's got his own radio show on Sirius Radio coming up noon to 3 Eastern. Mike's joining me here on Voice America Sports Unfiltered. Mike, with Auburn and Oregon in the national title game, what team would you rather coach? I'm not saying you're going to get their job. I'm talking about knowing the offenses and the teams. What team would you rather have in this game coaching, and who's going to win?
Well, the best player, obviously, would be Cam Newton. That's the guy you'd want the most. You know, I've wondered that because they're so far apart. I'll tell you, I think that's a good question. I kicked that around in my mind and on my radio show. So, you know, Oregon's so fast. They execute well. And the other thing is Oregon's almost like thoroughbreds. Their conditioning is such that late in games, like fourth quarter, they still have plenty of gas, and you know, I think you do that fast tempo stuff, you develop a level of endurance, and they're a smaller group. You can tell out there they're smaller. They all look fast, though. Cam Newton's kind of an X factor for Auburn. are they going to be able to withstand the size and the power of Auburn? Because Auburn's fast, too, but they're fast with bigger people. And they'll do some fast-paced stuff, but it's not nearly the pace that Oregon does. I guess the best one to have would be Oregon if Cam Newton had a sprained ankle. But if Cam Newton doesn't have a sprained ankle, it's tough to argue with Auburn. I don't see either team stopping the other.
Yeah.
But if it turns out, I do think Auburn's stronger physically, and so the question is. Is Oregon precise enough and fast enough to outmaneuver them? The thing is, those SEC guys, even though they're big, they're all fast too.
Yep. Will you, Mike?
They're wild-eyed Southern boys down there.
Yep. So you're taking Auburn in this game, is my assumption, in a high-scoring game. Mike, when you get back into this and you get a job, and let's say it's a Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-10 job, will you win a national championship as a head coach in a big division like that, big conference?
Well, I think if the right team, I think definitely. I mean, like to give you an idea, there at Tech, at Texas Tech on NFL rosters currently, there's 9. For Texas, there's 36. For Oklahoma, there's 32. Well, we beat Oklahoma 3 of the last 5 times. That thing was getting to where the home team won every time. Nebraska has something like 29. So 9 compared to 29. I mean, that's 3 times more. And, and we beat Nebraska 4 straight times. We're definitely doing some good things, barking up the right tree. And then also we competed in academics, went from one of the lowest graduation rates when I just got there. And because they're on academic probation, when I left, we had the highest. So, I think the chances are pretty high. You know, you get to a place where you have 25 or so on the roster that are on NFL rosters. I would think you have a pretty good chance, because then the guy down the road doesn't, you don't have a bunch of folks that have 3 times as many as you do.
Will you be a coach in 2011, Mike? Final question. Or do you think it's going to take to 2012?
I don't know. Hard to say. You know, it only takes it only takes the vision of one guy, not necessarily guy, but one president, one AD. I mean, that's all that's really required to make the thing work. I'm excited about things either way, because I'm having fun here now. Given a choice, I'd rather be coaching, but this isn't bad here either. Every day's pretty exciting here as well.
Mike, you've been awesome. And my final question, anything career-wise, I mean, you're obviously, and I always laugh when they say baggage, you're married to the same woman, haven't been in jail, graduate your kids, and win. To me, I need to hire you. But is there any regret, any one thing that you would change in your decade at Texas Tech or as a coach? Is there something that you would change, any regrets at all?
No, I don't have any regrets other than, occasionally there's a guy that you say, well, if I would have pushed him harder, he would have been better in the classroom, or, if I would have called this play instead of that play, he might have finished that drive. I don't really have any regrets. You go out there every day, you do the best you can, and, if you know to do better than that, you would have done it, and you just go from there,
No man in the country deserve to be hired as a head coach more than you. And in my opinion, well, Muschamp is fine, and Al Golden, 2 teams missed the boat. Pitt still got a chance to wake up and do something, Mike. I said it. I know you didn't. There's no better coach that doesn't have a job in the country than you. And all I ask is that when you get a job, that I get an interview about your quarterbacks. Fair enough?
That sounds good.
All right, Mike, I appreciate it. You can find Mike on Sirius Satellite Radio, noon to 3 Eastern Time. We'll get him on here again as this thing starts to wind down. Mike, I can't thank you enough, not only for being so frank and honest up front, but for giving us all kinds of thrills. And I know Texas Tech misses you, but so do football fans. And I get so many people on my Facebook begging for you to be their head coach in their town. It'll happen soon. I can't thank you enough for taking a half hour out to visit with us, my man.
Well, thanks so much for having me on.
No problem. You're the best. Mike, I'll talk to you soon, my bud.
Alrighty.
Thanks. That's Mike Leach. All right. There's no better, folks. He knows offense, and he'll tell it like it is. He ain't backing down. He belongs on Unfiltered, doesn't he? He belongs on Unfiltered. Love him. Great long half hour with Mike Leach. He sure make it seem short. We could talk football and X's and O's forever. Mike Leach gets it, folks, and unfortunately, athletic directors at times don't like a coach that gets it. They want an ass kisser. That's not Mike Leach. He's not kissing anybody's ass. He's just doing it right. It's Unfiltered. We've got plenty to talk about. Taking your questions, 888-346-9144, as we finish up hour number two in the next 30 minutes. We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SEANSALS at gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, we're Unfiltered. How can you not love Mike Leach? See, that's what Mike Leach, what you get. You walk into an athletic director's office, he's going to give you the, he's a numbers fanatic. He knows who great, he's amazing. This guy's got a law degree, he's a rugby fan, didn't play college football, but man, is he a mastermind, and good coaches have seen it. And the only reason Mike Leach does not have a head coaching job is because this albatross hanging around his neck, and the funny thing about it is he makes a great point. It's not him that's getting, he's not a defendant in any of it. He's a plaintiff. So what baggage does Mike Leach have? No offense, are you going to tell me that Al Golden's a better football coach for the U than Mike Leach is? Are you actually going to tell me, and I like Will Muschamp, Will Muschamp's not more qualified to coach Florida than Mike Leach is. He's just not. I think Will's a hell of a coach, and I think he's got a chance to be really good. He's learned behind a real good one in Mac Brown. Will's got a chance. But you can't tell me that Mike Leach hasn't been contacted by any of them but in a roundabout way, the University of Minnesota, and not by the people who made the decisions, you heard from Mike. Now, is that not some crazy crap that's going on? Are you kidding me? How does that bullshit happen? How does that happen? Because they're afraid he might sue the university? No. He deserves his money. Name me another guy that either hasn't been arrested or hasn't been in trouble with something at school that got fired after all Mike's done over a one player and standing in a closet. And we'll have Mike Leach on again when all is settled so we can ask him what really happened that day with Adam James in the closet. I didn't want to go there with him because Mike even treaded on some ground where I didn't even think he'd ever bring the James name up, and he did, which was awesome. But in the day, and then the most fascinating thing Mike said is that his testimony won't even matter because what was said by the other people in deposition is basically a slam dunk, and those are my words. Let's get out to D-Man in Arizona. D-Man, what's going on? Welcome to Unfiltered, my man.
I'm doing good, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Great interview with Mike. I thought he was awesome.
Unbelievable. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on at the University of Miami. Since when do they become secondary school?
Well, their athletic director apparently thinks that that's what they are, because she decides to hire, and like I said, this is not an indictment on Al Golden. I don't know Al from Adam, and apparently nobody else knows Al from Adam but the University of Miami. Temple, great, fine. They went there going to their first bowl game. I get that. But you know what? He's got a less than 500 record. I'm not exactly sure if Miami wants to just flounder in mediocrity, but at least initially this is what it seems like is going to go on.
Yeah, it's like all the alumni that came from that university, are you telling me that they're standing up saying, we got our guy?
No. You know darn well they don't have their guy, and you know darn well that's not the guy they wanted. This was an in-house. This wasn't a board of regents, oh, yeah, this guy's our best guy out there. You know darn well that's not the case.
How did that guy get that job?
Donna Shalala didn't want Mike Leach, even though that Donald Trump told her she should have hired him in the first place, and the first time around. But this reeks of, now Al Golden better be awfully special, because you know what? We could very easily have another coach in 2 years in Miami considering this circumstance. How Mike Leach, let's even push this up, how doesn't he get an interview with any of these? He hasn't had an interview yet with anybody.
This is insane. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. Like you said, Florida hire, you know, with the University of Texas guy and coach, I was like, okay, that makes sense. I'll take that, but I was looking for the University of Miami to make a splash after firing their head coach after the season. I mean, what is that?
Oh, they made a splash. D-Man, they made a splash, all right.
It's crazy.
Unfortunately, the splash was one that you didn't know was a belly flop.
Yeah, I was sitting there like, who is this guy? From Temple?
Yeah. Wow. Temple had their first winning season. He's got a 20-something and 30-something record. He's below 500. In his career as a coach, below 500.
How does that guy go into these kids' homes in Florida and recruit against Florida State now, who's up and coming, against the UCF, who's up and coming, and against Florida? How does he go in there and recruit and come to Miami? For what? Well, what has Miami done?
And we're think about it now. We're right about in the middle of recruiting season. Recruiting season's going on hot and heavy. Get your signings. I'm not quite sure when you walk into a program if you say, oh, Coach Golden from Temple, awesome. I'm going to sign with you.
Yeah,
no.
That's not going to happen.
Of course
it's not going to happen.
Of course it's not. So, Coach, you were at Temple. I saw a lot of your games. You guys were good. Please.
Wow.
You know, see, in the opposite of it, Mike, if Temple wanted to hire Mike Leach, Mike wouldn't do that. Mike wouldn't go there. That's just my opinion. Mike wouldn't go there. That's not a play. I mean, while he won, you know, Al Golden got a winning season, but, you know, the schedule and who they play and the come on, it's Temple. No offense, it's a basketball school that just happened to get enough wins to go to a bowl game this year. But you don't, at the University of Miami, not interview other prospects, and you don't hire a guy that couldn't have been in your top 10 when Randy Shannon was fired. Couldn't have been.
See, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, you've got to scratch your head on this and say, wow, where did this guy come from? Where did this come from? This is insane.
I'm thinking that, you know, the university, you got to start looking into athletic directors and what's on their mind and start to say, you know what, maybe we got to fire the athletic director to get the right person in mind as a head coach. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you go down to Coral Gables right now, first of all, go talk to people in Tallahassee and go talk to people in Gainesville. They're doing somersaults after this hire.
Oh, yeah.
They're saying, this is awesome. Because the last thing they wanted was Gruden or Leach or, you know, Kyle Whittingham or any of these other guys that have put together programs. See, like a guy like Utah's Kyle Whittingham, let's just use him for an example. I mean, it's taking a program, they're a little overrated this year, yeah, but it's taking a program. Isn't Kyle Whittingham, just using him as an example, in a team that's going to the Pac-10, a guy who's won, a guy who took over for Urban Meyer and kept that team near the top of the heap, isn't he more qualified than Temple's coach? Just using him as an example.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think? I mean, and you're telling me you couldn't get a guy I mean, you think at the University of Miami, you could get any number of guys to leave their contract someplace and go hire somebody. Why not Gus Malzahn, who's the offensive coordinator at Auburn, what he's done? Miami's begging for an offensive coach because they haven't had offensive football in I don't know how long. Malzahn seemed to do that pretty doggone well at Auburn, and now Vanderbilt wants him to be the head coach. Isn't Gus, I mean, if you want to get away from the old school and go to the new school, Gus Malzahn seems like a pretty good candidate, doesn't he? Even if you're not even talking to Mike Leach.
I'm just trying to figure out, when did the University of Miami become a secondary Division I school? I don't understand what that happened.
But well, the way they performed on the field, the way they performed on the field for a handful of years, but the way that they're going about their hiring and taking care of their business, you know what, D-Man, they have become a middle-of-the-road program, which is sad because with those athletes, and if you talk, I mean, think about Michael Irvin and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and all the great players that have gone there, I'm quite sure this isn't what they had in mind.
No, they didn't get their guy.
Exactly.
They didn't get their guy.
I'm quite sure this is what they had. This isn't what they had in mind. And if you didn't get your guy, I mean, how many guys did you go through before you got to Al? And like I said, this is no—I don't know Al Golden. I don't. But I just know where he coached and what his record is. And to me, this doesn't reek. This reeks of this. You know what this is? This is like this is when you, if you're at University of Central Florida trying to make a split, they're getting better. But this is where you say, okay, let me go out and get a guy that maybe we can build a program with. It's a Mountain West team that you say, you know what? Dang, we're losing our coach, so let's go out and get a guy like Al Golden to see what he's done with Temple if he can build our program. Or this is a Washington State guy where you go and say, okay.
Right.
The Washington State, we've struggled. Let's go get Al Golden. Look what he did at Temple. Let's see if he can come fix Wazoo and come up here to the Palouse and fix the Washington State Cougars. This isn't
right.
A guy you say, let's go fix the U.
No, no. And the fact that we don't know who he is means he should not be at the U.
Thank you.
The U is a premier college football program. Give me a break. Wow.
Would you go get a backup quarterback and invest every single thing you own as your franchise NFL quarterback? Now, you know, Kansas City did it, and that may be an aberration. Now, when people say, well, you can go down the list. Look what Hasselbeck when he was backing up Brett Favre and all that. But I'm saying for the most part, at least the guy, well, Castle, had he not had the 1 year with New England when Brady was hurt, Castle wouldn't have been on the top of anybody's chart as far as going out and signing a guy to a lot of money and going and trading for him in Kansas City. But he had the one big year, and he's proven that he's a good football player now, but New England's got Charlie Weiss there, and people were familiar with him, and it became a hot commodity. But you wouldn't take a guy that hasn't played and all of a sudden say, well, let's just give him $27 million and stick him out there to play quarterback. It's the same with the coach. Like I said, with Al Golden, Temple, Boston College maybe –
no.
You know, I mean, and even then, that may be a step up. But Temple to Washington State, I get it. Temple to...
Not to the U.
There needs to be one more step in the hiring. Al Golden needs to take one more step with the program before he's at the U. He went from single-A baseball to being the starting pitcher in the World Series at the U.
Yeah, and that won't work. I guarantee
that will not work.
But
I don't have any clue what's about to happen on recruiting between Temple and the University of Miami. He's about to be in for a cold end. And you know what? Don't start out 2-4. Don't do that next year.
Yeah.
Don't start 2-4. So we'll see. You know what, D-Man, this is a completely baffling to me, as much as it is baffling to me that Mike Leach can't get an interview. Can't get an interview.
Well,
look at his track.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. If Gordon can... get that job in Miami, I'm going to dust off my resume and see what I can come up with.
Gee, hey, there's a job waiting on you, my man. Trust me. As a matter of fact, Stanford will be looking if Harbaugh leaves, so put your resume in there. I think But then again, Stanford's got more sense than to do that.
Yeah, check this out. Now, I was sitting there listening to you talk to Mike Leach about the Auburn and Oregon game.
Yep.
I like what he said, but I'm looking at this game this way. I think Cam Newton has carried Auburn the entire season. Cam Newton has. But I think the difference in this game is going to be this. I think it's going to be Oregon's speed and the fact that Oregon has about five or six different guys that can hurt you.
Yep.
If you just slow Cam Newton down, I think it's going to be a wrap. And I think that defense, that Oregon defense, gets better in the fourth quarter. Well, we all know that the second half, and that's going to be the telltale of the game. Those big guys, the Auburn, yeah, they're big, they're fast, but at some point in time, they will get tired, and Oregon can go all night long. That's why I think Oregon's going to win this game.
And on artificial surface in a nice facility in Arizona, you know, the truth is that for me, you're exactly what I said, and I said that. If you take away Cam Newton, you basically shut down Auburn offensively. If you take away Darren Thomas, you still got LaMichael G. You still got six other weapons that can beat you. That's the whole thing. I think Cam Newton will have to continue to play like Superman. If he plays like Batman, yes. If he plays like Robin, they're not going to win. If he plays like Robin, they're not going to win. If he dresses in a phone booth, they'll win. But he has to dress in a phone booth for them to win, because Oregon's tempo is going to be at a pace that people, I mean, it'll even be upgraded because they'll be more jacked up and fired up come national title game. I'm going to make my pick later on, but I like physical over finesse, which would favor Auburn, but I like a lot of weapons over one weapon. And to me, there's one weapon that is an unstoppable force. But if you can just prevent him from throwing for 250 and running for 200, you can win that game. D-Man, I appreciate it. We'll continue to make our picks, and there's so much to talk about. But now that we got 2 hours, we're rolling, my man. Thank you.
Gotcha, brother.
Appreciate it. D-Man out in Arizona. This is from Ray Cleaver. Love Ray. He says the U has to pay Shannon for the next 3 years. They went low budget. And he's right. And the sad thing about it is that you have to go low budget because you owe a coach. You'd have been better off staying with Randy Shannon than hiring Al Golden. You would have. You got 3 years of pay. You'd have been better off keeping Randy. It's just my opinion. How Mike Leach doesn't get an interview, and what a team like Pitt is doing not to get him in there. Can you imagine how he'd change up the Big East having a guy like Mike Leach with that offense? I don't understand people, and there is no baggage. This is a guy who's done it right, period. Voice America Sports, we're finishing up. Got about 10 minutes left. We'll be back in a couple minutes to wrap up my first two-hour show here on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and, of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
It's more than a sports show. Tune in every Friday for End of the Bench with Tony Bowie. Tony knows and does it all. Whether it's sports, business, or politics, the discussion all comes to focus in one place. You'll hear from the personalities as well as the everyday people, each bringing their own perspective to the discussion. This is a weekly forum that you'll want to be a part of. End of the Bench with Tony Bowie airs live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Summarizing some of the things we've done, obviously you can hear Mike Leach again when iTunes or when the podcast is downloaded. You can hear this again and tell all your friends. Mike just tells it like it is. And Mike isn't giving many of those interviews out, so go check it out. You can find me at Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on Facebook. Go on there on the fan page, hop on, and we'll talk football anytime you want. I'll accept you as a friend, you bet. Hop on and let's go play. And then you can also catch me at twitter.com/SeanUnfiltered. And I'm also going to be giving away two tickets lifetime to the Super Bowl. And it'll be basically in the contest, we'll give you, let you know here in the next week and a half, basically you're going to Twitter exactly why, and we'll tell you where to Twitter it to. You got to join my Twitter. You're going to end up Twittering it to me, and we'll have people looking out for it. There'll be thousands and thousands and thousands of them. But you're going to Twitter it, and we're going to choose the best one who tells us why they deserve Super Bowl tickets for a lifetime. And it'll also, with Live Good Advertising, we'll give away Madden video for life. So we got some fun contests. Spread the word. Get it out there. We've talked to Mike Leach, had a good 30-minute conversation with Mike Leach, which went great. Talking about Sal Alossi, who something's got to be done, folks. I'm one of those guys that I find certain things funny, but kneeing and tripping and kind of giving a thigh and a knee to a guy running down to cover special teams could have got hurt, could have been far worse. You got to suspend him, and I don't know if you fire him, but he's got to be suspended without pay for the rest of the season. You just can't do that as a strength and conditioning coach. You can't do that as anybody on the sidelines playing as the 12th man, a strange but true football story. You just can't do it. I don't agree to Tashard Choice should have got an autograph on the field. Don't have a problem afterwards going into the other locker room and making sure that, and going and talking to the other players if that's what you want away from the field. I don't believe in hug fests and love fests before a game. I just don't. And I sure as heck don't believe in getting an autograph on the field after the game. Go into the locker room and get it away. You just got beat by a rival and you're looking for Mike's autograph. Hey, we all want Mike's autograph. Just do it properly. But that's the culture of the Dallas Cowboys, who just really do things different. They're playing harder and playing better, and Jason Garrett has them in every game. Should have been 4-0 going into last night and had a chance at times to win last night. You might want to get Jason Garrett signed, but Jerry's going to wait. He's going to wait until the season's over. He's going to want the attention, Jerry is. He's going to want the attention that possibly interviewing a big-name candidate's going to draw. He's going to milk that as far as he can through the Super Bowl while everybody's in town in Dallas. He's going to milk that. It wouldn't shock me if during the week of the Super Bowl, to take away from the thunder of the Super Bowl, he'll announce who his coach is permanently. You'll hear leaks about people that are going to come in during interviews. You'll hear it all because Jerry, being the fact that his team's not going to the playoffs and it's been an embarrassing season for them, that they're going, I love Jerry, but Jerry's the wizard at marketing. He's a wizard. He meddles a lot, but Jerry signs paychecks and he's a wizard at marketing. He knows how to do it as good as there is. And he will time it to where in January we start to whisper about a Cowboy coaching job. Speculation. He'll want it on all the radio shows talking about it. And like I said, when the AFC and NFC championship game and then the party and the Pro Bowl before the Super Bowl, a week before the Super Bowl, and then everybody here in Dallas leading up to the Super Bowl, he's going to want all that talk and banter to take away from the Cowboys' poor team and to get some publicity while he's in town. You know, he's got this big stadium. He's going to want the talk to be focused on the Cowboys, not on the two Super Bowl teams, which very well may be the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots. And a couple of other really, really good organizations. So, or the Atlanta Falcons. He's not going to want that. So Jerry's going to milk this, even when Jason Garrett deserves it. And then when it's time, he'll sign him to make sure that the thunder and the all the motivation and all the love falls on the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe just when the Mavericks start to go, and the Mavericks are one of the best teams in the West right now. But you're still not hearing about them nationally, and you won't for a long time. But Jerry will make sure a lot of that thunder's his. Jerry will make sure a lot of that thunder's his. But you can't go get an autograph, and there'll be changes on the Dallas Cowboys, and Tashard Choice may not be one of them, but a little bit immature and typical of what the Cowboys are doing these days. You take a look around, Brett Favre says, you know what, he kind of looks forward to chilling on the sidelines if he's not playing tonight. Doesn't sound like Brett Favre. To me, that tells me, and it's the first time I've ever said this, it's time to bench him and make a change even if he is healthy enough. I don't believe that if he's healthy enough that Tavares Jackson gives you a better chance to win. But if Brett's talking about chilling on the sidelines and what has he got to prove anymore, maybe it's time. It's time to make the transition, and Brett can chill for the last 3 weeks on the sidelines because they're not going anywhere. They're trying to save jobs, and if Brett is trying to go quietly into the night, then maybe we ought to let him. And I'm a Brett Favre fan, but there comes a point in time when you can't kiss ass. And if Brett isn't sure he's going to play or is telling people in text message it, you know what, he's looking forward to chilling. I've never heard a starting quarterback saying he's looking forward to chilling on the sidelines. You never hear that come out of Brady or Manning's mouth. He just never will. Sorry, but you won't. And sometimes Brett says some things that I think leaves people scratching their head. Talk about that. We saw some football last night. It was awful. Awful. The New York Jets, I mean, it's 17-44. Sanchez got to play better. The Jets will be out and done. Look what Matt Ryan's doing in Atlanta. Drew Brees. The Kansas City Chiefs had a backup, so quarterback is so important. Brody Croyle played poorly. How Miami wins with 55-yard passing is only because their quarterback in Miami and in New York went 17 of 44. Oh, by the way, Cliff Lee, is it the Yankees, is it the Rangers, or is somebody else going to jump in at the last second? Somebody going to jump in? Is the intrigue of pitching for the Yankees just too great for any pitcher who's never been in that atmosphere? Too great. Now, he's been in Philadelphia, which is the biggest atmosphere, obviously Cleveland and Seattle and Texas, and he's been on some, he's obviously a great home postseason pitcher and a wonderful pitcher and the hottest free agent out there. Everybody's still, people wait and see what Cliff does. But what'll happen? Is he a Yankee? That decision, I think, should, Cliff needs to make it. Cliff needs to make it and go with his gut where he's happiest money-wise or not. But if the Yankees give an extra year and 20 extra million or 25 extra million the next year, you got to go. Or the Red Sox or Atlanta Braves if they jump into the fray, or Texas. Don't know if Texas wants to do it. And people don't buy into the fact that small markets can't pay. Yeah, they can. It all comes down to, does the owner want to pay? It doesn't come down to, can they? Look at the Red Sox. I mean, they're still in the hunt for, you know, who is Beltran for? Going to be, a Red Sox still, possibly. Carl Crawford and Gonzalez. They spent a lot of money. It's because the owner wanted to open it up. Yes, they play in a big market. It's the Red Sox. They sell out all the time. But you know what? If the owner wants to pay it, most of these owners didn't make their money playing under baseball franchise. Most of them made it doing something else. If you want to pay a guy bad enough, you'll pay him. The Yankees always seem to want to pay. Do the Rangers want to match that? We got so much going on this week. Mike Leach, thank you very much. Chad, thank you for manning the board. And Ray and Anthony and D-Man. AC, for all your contributions. The Live Good Advertising, for giving the Madden video game for life to my contest winner when it happens. And I'll give 2 Super Bowl tickets away for life as we head down the stretch towards Super Bowl. 2 tickets away to the Super Bowl for life. Tell all your friends we're 2 hours now right here on Voice America Sports, and you can get back to the podcast and listen to the Mike Leach interview. Mike Leach was very frank and upfront. More guests, more fun. This is Unfiltered. I'm Sean Salisbury. We are kicking ass, and we don't take many names, but we'll take those 2. This is your home for Unfiltered Radio. If you want it right, you want it true, and you want it unfiltered, you'll get it right here, unlike any station in the country. I'm Sean Salisbury. This is the show for you. We'll see you tomorrow at 11 Eastern, excuse me, at 10 Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, right here on Voice America Sports. Have a good day, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We hope you'll come back weekdays at 10 a.m. in the East, 7 a.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel. Take care.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.